Okay, so yes, you met with Bob and Carolyn, and what would you tell the flock?
You would be amazed at how much Bob can eat. Amazed. I mean, like 3 years ago, he was at UBC, and we go to this dirty little bar that's in the UBC Student Union building, and that's where we were waiting to ambush Nardwar, the radio host, so Bob could go on the radio show. So we went up to the radio station, and they said to us, Nardwar's show is not on for another half hour, so you got to go wait for him. So we go down to this bar. Angela gets a pitcher of beer because she wanted to see if Bob would actually drink beer. So we got Bob to drink a beer. That was interesting. And then Bob wanted something sweet to eat, so he ordered his pecan pie, and he had a slice of it. So he's eating the pie, and he's like, this is really good. And then he's like, get me another one. And then he scarfed the second one down. He's like, get me another one. He just kept doing that. He ate like four or five pieces of this pecan pie right quickly, and I thought, wow, Bob's appetite is a lot bigger than I thought it would be. And later on in that UBC trip, so I'm still talking about 2013, but later on, he's in this bar with James Kidney and Angela, and I walk in. I was in a meeting, so I was late getting to meet up with them. And as soon as I walk into the bar, I heard Bob yelling, screaming. He's like, "Hey, hey, hey!" And he's waving. And I thought he was maybe waving at me, but he wasn't. He was trying to wave down the waitress. And I come over to the table with Bob and Angela and James Kidney, and James and Angela are just laughing their asses off. They can't even breathe. And I'm like, "What the hell is going on?" Like, Bob has already eaten six of these giant bowls of chocolate sundae. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then we sat there and we talked, and every time he'd finish his bowl, he'd go, "Where's that fucker? Hey, I need another one of these fucking things. I can't wait. Don't make me wait. You got to bring them as I'm finishing them." So that at that point in 2013, I thought that was a lot of eating. But, I mean, the feast that we had last night put that to shame, made UBC Bob look like some kind of hunger strike.
So... And Chad, tell him about my interaction with the waiters.
Last night? Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're sitting down. First, we choose our table, and Bob felt the table was too big for interaction. And it was a pretty huge table. It was like a big granite table in a beautiful hotel overlooking the ocean. But we were miles apart from each other. So Bob's like, "This is no good. This is a shitty table. Show us somewhere else." So we go over to the other side of the restaurant, and there's some tables there. But it's all, like, close together, little square tables. And that was, I said, "No way, Bob. When you get going, anybody sitting 2 feet away, people are going to lose their shit." So we went back to the original table, and so of course the waiter comes and he brings some water, and we're sitting there talking and drinking water, and then Bob gets in the middle of saying something good, so he's on a roll, and then the waiter comes up and interrupts him, like, "Hey, you know, how's your water tasting," or something stupid like that. And Bob's like, "Hey, I'm trying to fucking finish my idea here. I got a spot. I'm trying to finish." And then so that waiter leaves, and then another waiter. Sorry, that was the second waiter. The first waiter came and interrupted when he introduced himself. That was the first thing. "Hi, my name is Louise," and I was like, "Okay, whatever. You just interrupted a great thing about Thompson here, asshole." And the second one came up and asked how our water was going, and that Bob freaked out about that. And then the third waiter comes up like a minute later while Bob's in the middle of another tale, and Bob just keeps getting interrupted by these guys who are just coming asking, like, "How's your water? How's the breeze? Do you still want to be here? Are you guys happy here?"
Yeah, I said, like, you're the third guy. What are you doing? What are you for? I'm your something. I go, holy shit. They got five fucking guys doing different little parts of whatever that is fucking annoying us.
And then the weirdest thing happens as we're sitting there. Well, our waiter walks by, and he's like Hispanic. He walks by with a little kid, a little Hispanic kid who's probably like 8 years old, walks by our table, and as they're walking by, looks over and goes, "Oh, those are the deans." And I'm just like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? And I said to Bob, I said, I think that's the Mexican cartel from the Romeo section show. They're spying
right,
on Bob. They're eyeing you up, and, you know, there's a Hispanic family at the next table. And then later there was a Chinese couple. The guy had a tattoo of a machine gun on his arm. They're sitting behind us. You got all the different cartels surrounding us.
Yeah. And the waiters were these ridiculous swarthy guys, right? They looked a little suspicious. They looked like tough, barely understood the job. They were like front men for something.
For the hotel was so elegant and high class, but these waiters looked like it was like Goodfellas. It looks like they're actually like thugs who are just dressed up as waiters. They didn't really know how to do their job. It's like their only job was to come and interrupt Bob anytime he got on a good rant.
That's right. I'm now realizing it was all set up to fucking bug the shit out of me.
So then,
did you notice later, Chad, I could see the guy like 20 feet away across the room. He'd start heading towards me. I'd look at him. He'd veer off. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
I just look at him and he'd go, yeah, Bob doesn't need to be interrupted. Then he walk over and go somewhere else.
Yeah. So then it's time to order food. One of the waiters comes over, takes our order. You know, we get some appetizers. And they bring out the appetizers and there's a big boat of calamari and a bunch of other, like, deep fried things. And Bob just puts his arms around the calamari boat and just starts eating out of it. This is good. He sort of just claims ownership of the whole fucking appetizer himself. Then he gets about halfway through it, and then Carolyn's like, hey, that's for everybody. And, oh, okay. And then the waiter comes over, like they do every 30 seconds, it seems.
Yeah.
They come and prey on us. And Bob's like laughing, or he's kind of like, he sounds like he's joking about getting another, he goes, oh, I guess I have to share this, so I guess I have to get my own appetizer, another calamari. And the guy thought he was joking, so he left.
We didn't know for
10 minutes, and then it's just kind of like, well, I guess he didn't get the order. And then he comes back over, and it's funny because before that they're coming over like every minute, and now they're not coming over for 10 minutes.
Right.
And Bob's waiting on his calamari, and then finally the guy comes over, and Bob's like, where's my calamari? And the guy goes, what do you mean? You were serious? I didn't know if you were joking. So when Bob goes to order something, they don't even think he's serious about it. They think he's fucking joking with them.
By now they realize probably was a complete comedian and put on, so nothing I said was to be taken seriously, or if they did, they would kill me. So they decided to adopt a poise of relaxed. So don't listen to anything this guy asked for. Don't respond to him. But they responded.
Yeah. They responded, and then he got his own thing of calamari.
Bowl.
Yeah, his boat. Well, I said boat. It was more like a boat than a bowl. It was a long surfboard thing covered in calamari and sauce.
It had long, thin rice stick branches. So I hate one of my mouth. I'm still talking. I'm flying around. And the thing flies across the table, and I hit the fucking waiter's shoulder, and the stick flies across the room. And Bob's all coming in Bob's mouth. And he's stuffing everything down like a maniac.
Yeah. Just dunking pieces of calamari into this big thing of orange sauce. Splashing up his arm and everything. Big branch of these like straw things that the calamari was laid on top. Big long branch sticking out of his mouth, like 12 inches long. It's like, of course they're not taking you seriously when you ask for anything. And then just the way Bob grazes, it's like he doesn't really know. It's like an alien who came to this planet. He doesn't really know what the diet is like or anything. He just sees things that look interesting, and he looks at them and goes, hmm. And then he dips his hand into it, puts it in his mouth, tastes it a few times. Oh, okay, that's really good. I think I want more of that. Before he's done even eating the portion in front of him, he's already ordered. He knows he's going to like it, so he orders another, like, couple pounds of that.
And meanwhile, Al is trying to put a sense of civilized order, and I have to keep punching fucking, get the fuck back to your part of the chair, and so I'm trying to take my sauce. And Kel said, no, that is my sauce.
So the best part was during dessert, when we all got our different desserts, and Carolyn somehow, without anyone noticing, had reached over and taken a piece of pie off of Bob's plate. Bob didn't even notice because he was too busy telling stories. And then Carolyn goes, here, Bob, try this, and feeds him back a piece of his own pie. And he goes, oh, I really like that. And then he looks down at his own plate and he goes, hey, that's mine. I took my pie. Yeah. But,
I want another fucking plate of pie. He ate it all.
So anyway, back to that. That was the first round of appetizers with the calamari and the big long breaded beans and things like that. So we ate that, and then the main courses come out. So Bob's already had a bowl and a half of boat and a half of calamari. And then
I ate all the rolls.
Oh, yeah, the rolls. I forgot about that.
You're not supposed to eat the rolls, Bert. They fill you up, and then you can't appreciate the meal, but that's me. I scarfed all the rolls down immediately.
Yeah. All different kinds of rolls.
Dipped them in.
Yeah, all the different dips, asking what's that dip and trying it and, taking other people's dips. And Bob doesn't understand the Western concept of property when you're sitting around a dinner table.
I sort of noticed Kate was either starting to get maybe a horrified look on her face, and at the same time she was laughing. I don't think she knew what to make of me at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, she'd never broken bread with you before, I don't think. She had ice cream with you, I guess, the last time she was here, but I don't think she's actually sat down for dinner at a table with you. So appetizer, rolls, and then main course, and then what was the one thing you ordered more of?
What was the main course, Carol? Do we know what it was? Do you remember?
Steak. You had a steak.
You had a filet.
Oh, the filet, really good filet mignon, right. Yeah. And you guys got stuff.
Well, the espresso, remember the ridiculous
espresso? That's later.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I was imagining, I'm like, what would Bob be like with coffee? Like, I've always wondered, what if it took Bob plus coffee? Because I've seen Bob plus beer, which is very interesting, but I've never seen Bob plus coffee. And I didn't mean to do it last night. I just like having espresso after I eat a big meal, and it helps me digest. So I ordered a double espresso. I drank the first one. Then I ordered the second one because I knew we were going to be there for a while, and then I knew Bob was going to want to go for ice cream after all of that, so I had to be prepared.
Yeah, muted.
Oh, Kate's muted, but I don't know what number she's on, Bob.
Okay, let me bring that up just a second. Okay, yeah, we have to have Kate's input. Okay, you should be in there, Kate.
Hi.
No. All right. Good. What was that horrified, giggling look on your face? Now, be honest.
I wasn't horrified. I was just observing at how, like, you don't limit anything that's in front of you. Like, if it looks good, you'll eat it, and you don't care what anybody thinks or about anything. And I was just, like, observing you because I found it fascinating. Like, that's just how everybody, like, deep down inside wants to be. But they're just trying to be civilized. But you're just...
I don't even ask what it is. I don't even know what I'm eating.
You stuck that lime in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then Carolyn wanted more of your pie. You, like, insisted that she just eat the gross lime instead of the actual good stuff.
I offered her the lime.
Well, first you ate the lime. I remember you dug into your key lime pie so hard that you didn't notice that there was actually a lime, a half a lime or a quarter lime on top of the whipped cream. You just dove in and started eating the lime, skin and all.
I was having a good time eating, and Carol goes, oh, my God, you're eating the lime. I didn't even know. But it's no problem. It's good.
OMG, you're eating lime. And Bob, you just ate a lime. And then you seemed to react, or was that another play act?
Bobby, I was doing theater, Carol. All right.
Yeah, like at first I was trying to see if you were just putting on a show or if you were just, you know, trying to be the funniest man alive. But I realized that that's just you. Like, you're just like that.
Yeah, Bob gives a whole new meaning to the phrase dinner theater.
Yeah.
Like anything that's in front of him, like he'll eat it. Like there was no food left at all anywhere on that table. And if you look at Carolyn sitting, like everything was like everything was clean and her napkin's like nicely folded. And then if you look over at Bob, there's like crumbs everywhere and everything's like
spilled. There's chunks of sauce over by the candle.
Yeah, every once in a while it was like Bob would wake up and look at the centerpiece. Was that there before?
That was near the end. I looked at the centerpiece. Who's eating this? Is this for me? And they go, no, that's a candle, Bob.
And then he goes, when was that delivered?
And then you're talking about and all of a sudden you're like, wait, has that music always been playing? Did they just turn that music on, like in the middle of your story?
Yes,
the end of the dinner. Yeah,
the music. I suddenly heard music. I told you, there's been music all night. Yes, I had never heard nothing until now. And then I didn't notice it. It faded out. And then Carol, I didn't notice it. And then Carol said, see, it must have been low before because it just went low again. And I said, yeah. I didn't notice it went low, but you're right. Not as loud as before. So I basically was not taking anything in. I was a god living in my own solitary narcissistic world, just eating whatever showed up, like the Cyclops in Ulysses or something.
It was more like a preteen kid who gets left home alone with a house full of food.
With his buddies.
With his buddies, and they just tear it apart. But the coffee, you never finished the coffee story.
Yes.
So anyway, I ordered my second double espresso because I have to clear my stomach to go to Lappert's, which is the next place we're going. And then Carolyn goes, let me try some of that coffee, Chad, because I don't think she's ever like had much coffee, or at least espresso. So she tried it with a little spoon and made a face like it was bitter cough syrup or something. She didn't like it. And then Bob goes, what is that? And he grabbed it, and then he took a spoon of it, and he just kind of went like, I like that. That's good stuff. And he just started spooning up the coffee, the espresso.
Oh,
I'm going, what is this?
No, I don't want any of that. And then she's like,
no,
just try it. And he's like, and then
he
took a sip. He's like, oh, that's good. Can we take it? Let me have it.
What happened to your phone, Kate? Why are you low? What'd you do? Oh, you guys are... Somebody's driving.
Is it
driving.
Better now?
Is Evan driving? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little better. Oh, okay. Evan's there. You might put yourself on mute unless you want to speak because the wind's coming in.
Good.
Okay, so tell the coffee. So I'm intrigued by, oh, this is good stuff. And then I'm told it's espresso. And then I said, I don't think I've ever had this before.
Yeah, and then you just comped my cup. Like, you just took it. You copped it from me.
Yeah,
and
so
it was like,
get you another one. Waiter, over here.
You just took it and then enjoyed it and then... Yeah, called for another one, but I mean, like, there's no rules when you're eating with Bob. Like, if he likes something you have, he'll just take it, and you got to order another one.
Bob pays for it. I pay for it. I order it. Hey, give him another one. And, yes, it's very, I'm very generous with the mess, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You're very generous. It's funny because in terms of, like, typical conventions when people are eating, like, even if you try someone else's stuff, normally you'd order your own. You say, okay, give me one of those. But Bob just takes it. You know, I like it. And he goes, okay, get him one. Get him another one. I'm taking this one. And I was like, don't you want your own? No, I'm enjoying this one too much.
Now, anything more about the filet, the main meal? Let's see. What'd you guys have?
I had, what do you call it? There was some Hawaiian fish. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, some weird name.
And it was bread. It was lightly breaded, very nice. And it came with this purple sweet potato. I think it's native to Hawaii or something.
And
man, was that
lobster.
Ever good.
Thought she was getting lobster, but they were just giving her lobster sauce or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, lobster salsa.
Right.
Which was like a lobster salad kind of thing.
But there was, gradually, we began to entertain the waiters. I don't know, we made them laugh at various points, you know, at something, things or whatever we were discussing. They got into it a bit.
Yeah, they started to become sarcastic as the night went on.
Yeah. And like I'm not noticing his sarcasm. I'm just taking them literally or something, making ridiculous responses to what they were offering.
Yeah, we had to been eating there for like 5 or 6 hours. It seemed.
Yeah.
It was a great feast. It was a humongous Dobson feast. I was very impressed and very appreciative of the generosity of Bob and Carolyn, and the entertainment provided by them. As well.
And by Bob. Let me describe the dessert. It was like a very nice key lime that Bob got, and it was in two nice wedges. And I had a
chocolate custard.
Hey, Carolyn. Remember when I was reading the menus at the beginning?
Yeah.
I'd say, come on, can't you fucking give me a menu in English? I don't recognize one fucking word here, buddy.
Right.
And I'd always just give up, and then someone else would order something for me.
Because Bob doesn't speak the language of food.
You're just scanning the menu like, oh, I see pie. I just see the word pie. I'll just get that.
I know pie. I'll get that.
Yeah, I recognize the word pie, and then cancel what else you had last time.
I recognize it.
And then Carol said, well, I said, what's this, whatever the word was. And Carol said, oh, you had it last time with Loyette. Lime pie. Oh, yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. So then.
Anyway, it was two wedges of lime with a special Hawaiian lime with a name that nobody can remember. And Chad and I actually, we each had chocolate custard that was awesome with strawberry sorbet. But there was so much of these wedges of chocolate custard, I decided, well, I'm going to try some of Bob's, and I'll give him actually a bigger chunk of my chocolate custard as, you know, exchange. So that's what I did surreptitiously when he was flailing about, you know, gesticulating and entertaining everyone. So, you know, I took, like, maybe a quarter of his whole dessert.
I gave him a third of
my chocolate. And then when Bob discovered me with his lime, he started screaming. And then I said, Bob, I gave you a whole chunk of chocolate custard to replace this little bit of lime. What chocolate custard? Where is it? Well, you must have eaten it. He didn't even realize he ate something completely different. Lime and chocolate, different. They are different. But he just scarfed it down, didn't even notice, except to notice that I was eating one little mouthful of lime. Food fight. That's what we have.
Yeah.
And that whole feast was just the appetizer for Lappert's.
Yes. And you know, this has a point. It illustrates Ian knows what he's talking about. They've always said that Bob slurps down the Mars bar, Snickers bars, and doesn't know he's eating them.
Mm-hmm.
You guys saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what did he do in retribution? Ordered another lime pie.
Yeah.
And none of us picked up a fork to go anywhere near it because we knew he could order another one. Take another half hour out of our lives.
So what did we do? Well, how did it end? What were we doing and talking about once everything had been eaten? We sat there for a long time.
Who knows?
Well, we decided to go to Lappert's.
No, but we hung around and talked for a while.
Yeah, we kind of got serious for a minute there.
How about when you paid the bill? Was there any drama with the waiter?
No. I know how to pay bills. You don't.
That's why there was no drama about it, because Carolyn took care of it.
Yeah. So I sort of, there was something funny that happened at the end, it seemed to me.
Did the waiter make a remark when you were leaving or something, Bob?
No, they hid. We just kind of spoke to them. They hid.
Yeah, we didn't get much of a send-off. That's true.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh.
Well, I remember.
Had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like about an hour before we left, though, it started to become nighttime. So Carolyn had to tell Bob, like, okay, Bob, it's now nighttime. The level of noise here has gone way down, like way down. So you're going to have to keep your voice at, like, nighttime level now. And then Bob's like, oh, see, Chad, there's Al handling me from the show.
The Romeo section. Telling me how to behave, adjusting Bob for the change in the frequency.
Yeah.
94-year-old spoiled brat. Imagine that.
4-year-old, I call it.
Yeah.
Did you, Chad, I don't know if you heard me just explaining when Bob was playing the audio that you provided him of the quart of ice cream debacle out in the parking lot at Shops.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. It reminds me of a 4-year-old, the way Bob was clutching his little cardboard quart of ice cream, a 4-year-old clutching a live pussycat around the stomach and squishing it so that the eyeballs of the cat are squished out. Squishing his ice cream, and it was erupting over the sides, and he was holding it sideways, and he started screaming, who's making my ice cream fall out of the jar?
Yeah, he's blaming it. We must have been too close to his comfort zone or something. Yeah, it was like he was holding a cat, but he's trying to keep about 3 feet of distance between anyone who might come in and interfere with his ice cream.
From him. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that he does it is in that quart. He holds that quart as if it's like a tube of toothpaste or something. That's like his ice cream cone is this big quart. Keeping over the top, and he just, as he eats his way down, he starts squeezing the quart more to squeeze out more ice cream up to the top.
But it's like dripping over, so he's constantly, like, has his tongue out, like, licking the sides and everything.
Yeah. And he didn't want us mentioning it or trying to interfere because he was on a roll. He wanted to be talking through the whole episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he blamed Carolyn for interrupting his ecology or something.
Yeah.
Did the coffee had anything to do with that? Did you feel the coffee at all, Bob?
You feel the coffee?
I never feel nothing from anything, no. The drugs can't find a space to battle.
They can't penetrate.
They can't get to my membrane. They can't find the molecules to activate. I'm already hyper-stoned.
And that's why Bob doesn't travel anymore. He doesn't go to parties. He'll only be seen in places with people like Chad and Kate who can put up with him.
Yep.
Yeah. But the setting there was just gorgeous. That hotel and the other hotels we walked through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So we're walking along towards the hotel. It's daylight. And I decided to demonstrate how I talk to kids, to little 8-year-olds. But I did with these two 40-year-old women. And so remember when I started talking up the two 40-year-old women?
No.
Did you miss that, kid? Oh, it went on. Remember? Right at that.
Yeah,
turn.
the two blonde ladies.
Yeah. In front of us. Yeah, I was there.
And so that was funny when I got them going. We were talking about Trump and Bush. And
yeah, you were talking about Trump with us, and they either interjected or you asked them what they thought of Trump, and then it was on.
Right. And they eventually
veered away.
Yeah, I got them going. They found they were enjoying themselves laughing, and then they saw, we can turn left up here. So they faked that they had to go up north.
Yeah, Bob, because they were enjoying themselves laughing. I don't know, Bob. They were trying to get away from you the whole time.
Yeah, and as they veered left, as they veered left, it sort of forced Bob to step to the right, and he stepped as he walked through this big puddle. And then Carolyn yells, "Assassination attempt! Assassination attempt!"
But that was a good example I wanted to show you of the kind of topics I broach with citizens as they encounter me.
Mm-hmm. Instant seminar. That's what it was, the instant seminar.
Yeah, like C-Chat.
I just go up to people on this walkway and just grab, give them an instant seminar.
Instant pattern. They get interested, we get into it, and then I always take it too far. They can't take the fact there were three Jesus.
And right now, Bob, this whole time, he's been pacing around the living room, just walking real fast. So he's not even breathing hard, but this is Bob.
Yeah, I'm getting exercise. I'll be sitting here already for 7 hours, so why not do some more walking?
There's no question that the RNA drops or something is changing Bob into something not like something beyond human. It's the level of energy, the level of activity, the constant storytelling at high decibels of consciousness, and the intake of calories at an alarming rate. It's just not human.
And I didn't even notice this. I don't know. I'm just doing it. And then every now and then Chad says, "Jesus Christ, no human has ever done this before." These headlines are going up as Bob goes through it now.
Yeah.
Dobbs makes another breakthrough.
So what did we do when we get into it? Did we do anything with the people at the ice cream place?
Oh, yeah, we got there late.
It was closed.
Yeah. So we're walking into the shops at Wailea. It's the little outdoor shopping place where the Lapert's ice cream store is. And just as we're walking in, I check my phone. I'm like, oh, shit, it's past 10 o'clock. They close at 10. So we come down.
Well,
and
they close at 9:30, don't they?
Oh, do they? Okay.
9:30, wow. Even worse.
So we're half an hour late. So they must, So as we're walking down towards it, I noticed that just one panel of their door, their glass doors, is open. Just a thin little panel. So it was one of those things where it's like they might be open, they might not be open. So one of us pokes in and says, "Hey, are you guys?
I poke in.
You did? Okay, you poke in.
I poke in.
Of course, you did."
And
so,
a woman, I like her. She's a friend of mine, the one there.
Yeah, but at first she said, we're closed.
I said, "Are you open?" And she said, "No, we close at 9:30. And it was like 5 to 10, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, okay, I won't bother you." She said, no, come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it? And I said, "How many people?" She said, "The cash register's still open."
Mm-hmm.
That'd be important. Yeah. If it was closed, they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still open. So then they see people come in. Chad, a couple of Chads, a couple of Kate, a couple of Karen come in, and you know she's going to make a lot of money, so I let everybody get their ice cream first before they do me. And then when Kate sees my ice cream, she literally is shocked, like everybody is. How can you even have like a container like this? You just couldn't believe it. Right, yeah. Chad? Explain that, Kate, when you saw it.
Yeah, because like anytime you go to that ice cream place, there's only three sizes that you can get. This tiny little one, or no, two sizes. There's like one little single cup and then a double cup, which is like pretty small. And so that's what every time Bob explains that he goes for ice cream, I always thought he gets like the bigger, small one. And then so Carolyn, Chad, and I got our small like ice cream. So I figured Bob was probably going to get the same one, but just like an extra scoop or something on it. And then so she just like, you know, pulled out the cup for Bob. And as she like pulled it out from underneath, it just keeps going and going. And it's just this massive cup that I've never seen before. Actually, it's not a cup. It's like a tub of that. So then she's like scooping the ice cream in. She keeps going. Oh, she goes some more. And then she just keeps piling it up on top. And there's like a mountain of ice cream over top of this bucket full of ice cream. And he like cleans out the tub that they have there. And it's just amazing to see that that's what he eats every time he goes for ice cream. Wow. It's a lot of ice cream, people. Like, I can't believe it.
The amount on top was as much as we had in our double scoop.
Yeah. More, probably more.
It's
amazing. Yeah. And then she,
so Bob starts pushing you. As we walk out, we thank her. You pay, Carol? Who paid? Did we pay? Do we pay for ice cream, Carol? Do I own this place?
Yeah, but every once in a while, Bob says, hey, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I said, what with? You don't have any money, Bob. You don't have a bank account, Bob.
And I'm an optimist. I said, I'll have some someday.
Oh, man.
So we walk out. We thank her. So did you play with credit card?
No, I had cash.
Oh. So we walk along, and I'm ramming the cup into my face as we're walking along to get out to the parking lot.
Yeah.
Right? I'm diving into the thing, having a great
with
time.
With three spoons sticking out from around the edges.
Explain
why you have three spoons sticking out of the top.
That's what I was just going to do. So Chad says, why the three spoons? Well, they always stick one in. And I'm never going to use some spoon another human touched, so I leave it there.
Bob, they've been touching your whole quart of ice cream.
It's weird, you know. It's striking. A spoon, it's like, you know, can you bend the spoon? There's something about spoons in our mystical history that you don't fuck with.
It's plastic, Bob.
Yeah. So I always grab two other spoons, put them on the other side of the container together, separate from the evil one.
Evil, dirty thing.
So, and I walk out eating, and I wait till they can't see me anymore, and then I dump the first their spoon into the garbage. I lick it, and I dump it. Then I got two spoons, and you got to have two spoons because as you scoop violently like I tend to do, you will break the spoons.
Uh-huh.
So you have to fucking put a Band-Aid around them, tie them up so they can handle Bob's scoop rate.
You mean you put the two spoons back to back and use them one spoon.
Yeah, one spoon. And I've been known to even break two spoons in one vicious fucking spoon. And then what was great is that Brad, somebody started taping me. That was great. Now we have evidence for you to enjoy, Bert.
Yeah, we finally have documented evidence of Bob enjoying Lapperts after all the remarks Ion's made about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you got something else to add, Kate?
Oh, you never took one of the spoons out of your tub of ice cream and threw it out. So you had all three spoons sticking out of your ice cream, but you never ate your ice cream with a spoon. You just kept licking around the spoon.
That's right.
To deal with the volcano.
Yeah, I was ramming my face into the mountain of ice cream, ignoring the spoons.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, if there's let's say you got a nice birthday cake on the table or something, and everyone leaves the room, and the dog sees the opportunity to jump up on the table and grab the cake, and he turns his head sideways on the table as he jumps up, and he just starts biting, ramming his face into the cake for his dear life, because he knows as soon as someone comes back into that room, they're going to either knock him off the cake or spank him or something.
And the spoon. Now, I was so into eating it, I forgot to ditch the third spoon at the place I always do it.
At the
designated garbage thing, once I'm out of the store's view.
Yeah.
I once almost got caught by Chad, the other Chad, the main guy there, Chad. He had left early. And he was walking ahead of me, and then I forgot that he was there, and I did it. And holy shit, I looked up, and luckily he was not looking back. But he could have caught me, something I've been doing for years, making sure they don't know I throw away the spoon they offer me. That would be racist. They fucking racist.
They wouldn't be. Oh, man. They wouldn't even notice.
I don't know. So, then, that may be the end of that. So what, Chad? Let's unfold the incredible story of the Romeo section. What's in that show? It's incredible. You still here, Bert? Or
yeah,
are you?
I'm here.
Oh, we have someone.
You hear me?
We have. Oh, look, Bart showed up.
Yay.
Bart's been away for months.
Hey, Bart.
No, he hasn't.
Bart.
No, it hasn't been that long. At least a month, Bart. I keep missing
it's
four
been,
shows.
It's been three shows, I think.
Okay, so what happened?
What's happening?
Explain yourself. Why weren't you here?
I'm doing sort of a I'm sort of alternating. I have to. I'm still moving in. Actually, the house I'm in, so I still have work to do on this place. And the only time I can really do it is on the weekends.
Mm. And you wouldn't get it done. Start listening. So, did you just hear our description of my dinner with Andre Bob? Did you?
Yeah, I've been listening.
A famous movie that was based that My Dinner with Andre in the 80s was based on a conversation with Thompson, I think. The guy who, Wally or the other guy, they knew Thompson, knew about Lindisfarne, and they had a dialogue. That's interesting, yeah, that movie. Look at that, My Dinner with Andre.
Oh, yeah, no, I was aware of that movie. It kind of stood out just for how, I mean, it was just two guys talking. It was almost like a play.
Yeah, it was a play of people, one person trying to wake up the other person.
Yeah, and to between Thompson and who?
Maybe Andre. Andre was a writer into Gurdjieff stuff, and so then he redid it with the actor Wally Shawn. Maybe his name is Wally.
Oh, okay, Shawn. So the person's real name that had dinner with Thompson was Andre.
Yes, and he kept his name in the movie. It's Shawn having a dinner with a Gurdjieffian, maybe Grotowski Polish theater guru.
Okay.
Somebody, you can look him up. He has a history of teaching. And there's years ago I read, holy shit, it was connected to Lindisfarne, to Thompson somehow. So somebody in the Thompson scene had a conversation, and then Andre made it into a dialogue in a movie. Anyway, so this was my dinner with Bob and Carolyn. So did you hear our report about it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so what I got was you ate a lot of pie.
I ate a whole bunch of stuff, voraciously. The point is,
yeah.
Ted's never seen me eat so much, so ravenously, and he's saying, this is Bob on the drops, you know, 3 years after Vancouver in 2013.
Right. You know, it's just, I'm impressed hearing that you pace around the house and you're not, it's not reflected in your breathing at all on the phone.
Right, right.
Can't even hear.
Rejoice, I talked to her a year ago. I hadn't heard, talked to her in a long while, and I was pacing upstairs, up and down on that floor, but I didn't think about it. And she said, why? Are you nervous talking to me? I said, no. Well, you're breathing hard. So, no, I'm up here pacing back and forth viciously. And I said, if you listen to the old rewrite recordings, you'll hear me breathing all the time as I pace up and down for hours, keep moving just to have some exercise. Otherwise, I'm just sitting here. So she thought that I was afraid of her and was breathing nervously.
or coming on to her. Breathing heavily.
Yeah. I'm doing subliminal, you know, chakra work.
Yeah, I unconsciously like to pace myself or sort of be vertical when I'm on the phone a lot.
It would be fun if you had a live camera. It would look odd. If you watch me, I'm going round and round in circles like a mad fucking wolf in a cage. That's what
right.
I'm doing while it's past hour. And Carol's sitting there just watching me go round and round. She hardly notices it unless she has an audience, then she reports it, but she's used to it. But yep,
you don't want to say things about it because then you start making up crap. But it's almost like whatever's you're dispelling some of the flow that's coming through you. You know, you're.
No, basically, I can't be sitting around for 20 hours. You know, it starts. You hurt your back. So I'm up and down all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point too. You're on the phone for many hours.
Yeah,